The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth. From the Truth News Network, here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
We'll call today Friday Truths. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Yes, thank goodness it's Friday. A weekend is here. I don't know about you, but even though the president was vindicated, acquitted, despite what Democrats want to say, that because it was a sham trial, no witnesses called in the Senate, he really wasn't acquitted. Just to be completely frank, he was committed by law. He was acquitted. Nancy Pelosi said when he was impeached, he will be impeached forever. And I'll say this today, he was acquitted forever. But let's put all that behind us. Let's get on to something a little more, maybe easier to accept or understand and not so pointed and jaded and divisive. Let's talk about how politics have changed, and they changed permanently. When? Back in 2016. Let's go in today why politics changed. Well, the obvious answer is that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton for the presidency. That wasn't supposed to happen. Now, wait a minute. That happens every 4 years, doesn't it? So why would any election between a Democrat and a Republican running for president derail the American political system? One candidate wins, and one loses in every presidential election, right? Well, the answer is complex. But in the wake of the impeachment of a U.S. president for just the third time in U.S. history, this demands that we take a look. Remember this. Just minutes after the inauguration of Donald Trump, major newspapers across America ran a story with a headline that stated, "Let the impeachment of Donald Trump begin." For that to happen, there surely was something or some things going on in the political stratosphere before Trump's inauguration that would initiate a national story headline like that. So what was happening? Let's look at the history of political animus and division. Now, I'm a child of the 60s. Rebellion, rock music, hallucinogenic drugs, marijuana, free love, free sex, and anti-war and anti-government. That's my era. I almost went to Woodstock. Everybody was going, and I'd just gotten into radio. I was a disc jockey in a small town at a daytime radio station in South Louisiana. And music was my thing. I'm a musician. I had been for some years at that time. I love music. I couldn't make that trip happen. But you know, that era and life circumstances then gave birth to the social cultures in America today. Now, some will claim young Americans today are no different than were young Americans then. Well, I'm not an old grump. I get that. The youth of every generation are just that. Young. All young people deal with things in life that we all face or we all have faced. And when facing those things, decisions must be made and are made. Some good and some are bad. We all do that. None of that is different today from the 60s. So what's different? There are two generations living the same truths and the same rebellions at the same time in our lives. And one feeds off the other. Let me say that again. There are two generations living the same truths and the same rebellions at the same time in our lives. And one feeds off the other. What happened to the me's of the late 60s? You remember? I grew up then. So what happened to all of us? Well, we all grew up. Some are in the commercial and private workplace. Others chose the military. Some are married. Some are divorced. Some are single. Some with children and some without. There's a common experience that those from both generations share, and that's education. In fact, education is the most common social experience that all Americans face during each generation. American educators are among the best in the world. They really, really are. That's been proven over time by the results they produce in our young. But no one can look at this generation of young Americans and truthfully make a case that educational results today are identical as those in the 60s. So what's changed? The answer? Nothing. Nothing has changed. Let me explain. Who were those in the 60s that were experimenting with serious drugs, rebelling against the U.S. government, demonstrating, lashing out at all the institutions of the nation and against all authority? Those were the me's of today. And many of the me's of that day went into education and are today populating the halls of our primary and secondary school classrooms. They have been sharing their opinions, their interpretations of life events, their political perspectives, their answers for the same questions we asked in the 60s. Our educators are molding and shaping the minds of a couple of generations of Americans. But isn't that something that parents should be responsible for? Bingo. Parents, like never before, have become persona non grata regarding interactions about all these critical life issues for their children. Children, because their parents have silently relegated their learning of not just math, science, and civics to teachers. For two generations, we adults have given the responsibility of shaping the minds and hearts of our children mostly to public educators. Now, wait a minute. Don't think for a second I'm lambasting teachers, professors, or even parents. Don't think I'm promoting the necessity for private over public education either. I'm a product of public education, as are my three children. What I'm explaining is today's world, though much like our world, is much more complex than was the 60s. Our parents were a much larger part of our lives than are we in the lives of our children on the most part. And because of our decisions, educators are forced to fill the gaps. And what are these substitute teachers teaching our children? The same things they digested from the educators in their lives when they were the same ages. When was that? Well, many grew up during my generation, the 60s. It then was common to despise authority, all authority, hating the military, hating the police. That's when the term pigs was originated. Spurning lifelong relationships with one person, free love, little or no personal responsibilities, and flying by the seat of your pants were normalcies in that decade. Everyone did not adopt such a mindset. Not everybody hated cops, hated marriage, or the military. Many did, and oddly enough, many of those found their way into the education system. Many of those have become the molders of the world in which our children and grandchildren live. Now, I'm not playing the blame game. I lived through the generation of me-ism, made my own choices, and I survived. Many of our children and their children do the same things. This is simply the forward to an explanation today for the extreme differences between various groups comprised of people with differences, differences in the nation, and why political diversity has become so in your face. Where are we today? Where do we find ourselves politically? And why are we there? I got the answers to both those and more. Right after this, sit tight. We're at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network. Humankind has a problem. Experts estimate 1 in 3 crashes are caused by distracted driving. But nobody listens to the people telling people to stop. What we need is a non-person drivers will actually pay attention to. Introducing Smart Dogs. The first dogs trained to train humans. Smart Dogs will be at their best when you're at your worst. Stopping drivers from liking, selfieing, and whatever this is. These smart dogs are about to be unleashed to keep you from driving dumb.
No, Cedric, no.
So, when will they be available to the public? Never. Smart dogs are not the answer. But Geico has a simple tip. Turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving mode.
This message has been brought to you by Geico.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&M's.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&M's.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes!
M&M's Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Separating fact from fiction. Arming you with the ammunition of liberty. The truth on TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.
Well, here we are together. We're trying to find ourselves politically and why we're where we are. Well, the 2016 election illustrated just how different we are, especially about politics. We saw with the divisiveness between Democrats and Republicans that the divide is far more than just a divide. It's really a chasm. The unveiling of that chasm exposed to the nation with nonstop coverage of the huge gulf between those with Democrats and those with Republican perspectives. The chasm has appeared in every area of our life, religious, social, ethnic, sexually, and even from state to state, and of course, in politics. It has never been so obvious as it is in our post-2016 election. It became obvious in that election and has rapidly expanded during the Trump presidency. That the divisiveness is viewed and processed differently by Democrats than by Republicans. That's not saying one is right and the other is wrong. It's simply factual. Let's take a look at how, in several instances, it has revealed itself. Many Hillary Clinton voters have ceased communicating with friends and even family members who voted for Donald Trump. It's so common that the New York Times published a front-page article on the subject headlined, "Political Divide Splits Relationships," and Thanksgiving too. The article began with three stories. Matthew Horn, a software engineer from Boulder, Colorado, he canceled Christmas plans with his family in Texas. Nancy Sundin, a social worker in Spokane, Washington, has called off Thanksgiving with her mother and brother. Ruth Dorency, a software designer in Chicago, decided to move her wedding so that her fiancé's grandmother and aunt, strong Trump supporters from Florida, could not attend the wedding. The Times acknowledged that this phenomenon is one-sided, saying Democrats have dug in their heels and in some cases are refusing to sit across the table from relatives who voted for President Donald Trump. A number of people who voted for Trump report that their sons and daughters no longer allow their parents to see their grandchildren. It's so egregious that one man said that his brother-in-law's mother told him that she no longer had a son. All of this raises an obvious question. Why is this phenomenon of cutting off contact with friends and relatives so one-sided? Why don't we hear about conservatives shunning friends and relatives who supported Hillary Clinton? After all, almost every conservative considered Clinton to be ethically and morally challenged. Most believe that another 4 years of left-wing rule would complete what Barack Obama promised he would do in 2008 if he were elected president, fundamentally transform the United States of America. In other words, conservatives were not one bit less fearful of Clinton and the Democrats than Democrats were of Trump and Republicans. Yet virtually no conservatives cut off contact with friends, let alone parents, who supported Clinton. I think it's important, in the way of being perfectly clear, this is not from a scientific study. This is from studying people on the streets, families that have family members that are conservatives, some that are liberal, some supported Trump, some supported Hillary Clinton. From that, it's pretty easy to make some pretty large assumptions that are pretty right on. Here are 10 reasons that left-wingers cut Trump voters from their lives. Number one, just like our universities shut out conservative ideas and speakers, which they do, more and more individuals on the left now shut out conservative friends and relatives, as well as conservative ideas. Number two, many if not most leftists have been indoctrinated with leftism their entire lives. This is easily shown. There are far more conservatives who read articles, who listen to and watch left-wing broadcasts, and who have studied under left-wing teachers, then there are people on the left who have read, listened to, or watched anything of the right, or who have taken classes with conservative instructors. Those are facts borne out by university studies. As a result, those on the left really believe that those on the right are all S-I-X-H-I-R-B. Now, let me tell you what that stands for. Sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist and bigoted, not to mention misogynistic and transphobic. Number three, most left-wing positions are emotion-based. That's a major reason people who hold leftist views will sever relations with people they previously cared for or even loved. Their emotions, in this case irrational fear and hatred, simply overwhelm them. Discussing their differences for the purpose of finding commonalities with which they can use to maintain relationships no longer exist. It's all gone. On to number four. Since Karl Marx, leftists have loved ideas more than people. That's important. Leftists have loved ideas more than they love people. All Trump voters who have been cut off by children, in-laws, and lifelong friends now know how true that is. Number five, people on the right think that most people on the left are wrong. People on the left think that most people on the right are evil. Decades of labeling conservative positions as hateful and labeling conservative individuals as sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, racist, and bigoted have had their desired effect. Number six, the left associates human decency not so much with personal integrity as with having correct progressive political positions. Therefore, if you don't hold progressive positions, you lack decency. Ask your left-wing friends if they'd rather their high school son or daughter cheat on tests in school or support Donald Trump. That's a conundrum. Number seven, most individuals on the left are irreligious, so the commandment that says honor your father and your mother means nothing to those who have cut off relations with parents because they voted for Trump. Number eight, unlike conservatives, politics gives most leftist lives meaning. Climate change, that's a good example. For leftists, fighting carbon emissions means saving human existence on Earth. Now, how often does anyone get a chance to literally save the world, right? Therefore, to most leftists, if you voted for Trump, you have both negated their reason for living and are literally destroying the planet. Why would they have Thanksgiving or Christmas with such a bad person? Number nine, those on the left lean towards totalitarian politics. And every totalitarian ideology seeks to weaken the bonds between children and parents. The left seeks to dilute parental authority and replace it with school authority and government authority. So when your kids sever their bond with you because you voted for Trump, they're acting like the good totalitarians the left has molded. And number 10, while there are kind and mean individuals on both sides of the political spectrum, we know them. We all have them in our lives. If you're conservative, you know somebody that's a flaming liberal and you can't get along, and vice versa. As a result of all of the above, there are more mean people on the left than on the right. What other word than mean would anyone use to describe a daughter who banished her parents from their grandchildren's lives because of their vote? You know, we'll probably never see a reconciliation of differences between those on either side of the political aisle unless political leadership in the nation chooses that's the correct path to take. Based on what we saw play out before, during, and after the State of the Union address, that's not likely, at least not anytime soon. In the meantime, Americans will be forced to live in the vitriolic atmosphere of political discourse, being uncomfortable at best, nasty and gut-wrenching at worst. How long this may last is nothing more than an assumption at this time. I'm not certain we'll ever find commonalities again. Yes, I said again. I remember that not so long ago, those from both sides of the political perspective actually nurtured relationships with each other. They protected relationships and treated each other with tolerance and even respect for different opinions. Will the rift in the foundation of our republic be repaired? Can, in the interim, the U.S. overcome the results of the hatred between political leaders to find consensus sufficient to govern? Can we ever again achieve political peace? I'll answer with my honest opinion. Barring a drastic and traumatic event that impacts vast numbers of Americans, I don't see such reconciliation in my lifetime. I'm 66. Most of those things in 20th century America that were the commonalities of unity are no longer present. People no longer look diligently for ways to concentrate on just commonalities, understanding there are and always will be differences between us. But that's the magic of the success of our republic. That's how we deserve the moniker, the melting pot, for people from all nations, all religions, and all ethnicities. We embraced our differences, and we welcomed diversity. Some blame these issues on Mr. Trump, some on Hillary Clinton, some on other Republicans, some on other Democrats. Some blame political parties and others in the Congress. The deep state is also a labeled culprit. But here's one thing that is a certainty. No matter what group or party or minority or individual might be eventually labeled the cause, it certainly did not originate from one person or one group. And its existence has not been the fault of one person or one group. The blame lies at the feet of every American. We've allowed it. Can we fix it? Can we resolve it? Can we pull back together in an environment of acceptance and understanding and tolerance of diversity? That is impossible unless we individually pick up that cause. I'm in. Getting a little deep here at Truth News Network, isn't it? Well, we've got to dig deeper. You know, the truth's not always right there at the surface. Sometimes you just got to plow through all the other stuff and get down to what's really important. And this is really important. Thanks for sharing it with us here today. And as we look ahead, a very special day tomorrow on Saturday. You don't want to miss it. A special feature in our bullet points. It's so special that I promise many of you will want to download and save it and share it with friends and family. It's a big deal. Check it out first thing in the morning. You have a great weekend, folks. You deserve it. And until we get together again, I want to thank you for being a part of the Truth News Network family. TruthNewsNet.org. So long, everybody.
The truth. Straight. No chaser. TNN. The Truth News Network.